Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to Selling the Couch. I'm your host, Dr. Melvin Varghese. A few weeks ago, I was reading some articles on the habits of successful business owners and entrepreneurs, and one of the things that kept coming up was this idea of a morning routine, that the majority of these individuals had a very regimented morning routine, and they felt like having that morning routine increased their productivity throughout the day. So it got me thinking, and that was the reason I reached out to today's guest, Hal Elrod. Hal is the number one best-selling author of what is now considered as one of the most life-changing books ever written, and it's titled The Miracle Morning, The Not-So-Obvious Secret Guaranteed to Transform Your Life Before 8 a.m.
What if you could miraculously wake up tomorrow and any or every area of your life was transformed? What would be different? Would you be happier? Healthier? More successful? In better shape? Would you have more energy? Less stress? More money? Which of your problems would be solved? The Miracle Morning has already transformed the lives of thousands of people around the world, and it can absolutely be the catalyst to transform yours.
The Miracle Morning has had over 700 five-star reviews on Amazon, but what's more incredible is that Hal actually died at the age of 20. He was hit head-on by a drunk driver going at 70 miles an hour, ended up breaking 11 bones, died for 6 minutes, and then spent 6 days in a coma only to wake up to face the news that he may never walk again. Well, not only did he walk, but Hal ended up running a 52-mile ultramarathon, became a Hall of Fame business achiever, an internationally known keynote speaker, and one of the world's top success coaches. He's even a hip-hop recording artist and has been featured in Chicken Soup for the Soul, writes for Entrepreneur.com, has appeared on radio and TV all across the country, and the list goes on and on. He's also the host of one of the top personal development podcasts on iTunes called Achieve Your Goals with Hal Elrod.
Welcome to the Achieve Your Goals podcast with Hal Elrod. I'm your host, Nick Polkowski, and you're listening to the show that is guaranteed to help you take your life to the next level.
As the best-selling author of The Miracle Morning, I wanted to talk to Hal about how you can change any or every area of your life by simply changing the way that you wake up in the morning, even if you're not a morning person. So here's my conversation with Hal Elrod. Hey, Hal, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin, thank you so much for having me, man. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation as well. So you have this wild and crazy story of being in this car accident and almost being dead, for 6 minutes, and I thought we would start there. Tell us a little bit about that story and what happened.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's one of those things that you think, you know, you never imagine happening to you, right? It's something that happens to other people on the news, and then you change the channel and you're like, I can't handle that right now. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was 19 years old. Actually, I guess I was technically 20 years old. And I had been in a sales career for a year and a half. And driving home one night, I was hit head on by a drunk driver at 70 miles an hour and, you know, completely crushed the front of. I was in a Ford Mustang, brand new Ford Mustang. I'd literally bought it 3 weeks earlier. And I was hit head on by a Chevy full size truck. So much bigger vehicle. Head on, sent my car spinning into oncoming traffic, and not to mention airbags exploded, crushed the front of my car. And the worst was actually yet to come, because when I spun into oncoming traffic, the car behind me hit me in the door, the driver's side door, at 70 miles an hour roughly, and just crushed the left side of my body. In fact, if everybody listening, this helps give you like a visual and imagine what that would be like. Put your hands in front of your body like you're holding on to a steering wheel, right? Kind of make fists. You know, you're holding your steering wheel. Look out your left side. Look over your left shoulder, kind of looking out your driver's side window. And imagine a car coming at you at 70 miles an hour without any time to brake, and they crashed into your door. And what you might imagine happening is what happened. I had the whole left side of the car, the door crushed, crashed, smashed into the left side of my body and broke 11 bones instantly. I broke my femur in half. I broke my pelvis in three places. I broke my arm in half. My elbow was crushed, just on and on. I had 11 broken bones, ruptured spleen, punctured lung, and I ended up bleeding to death over the course of about an hour. That's how long it took the paramedics and the fire department to cut me out of the car. Mm-hmm. And died for approximately 6 minutes, as you mentioned, Melvin. Fast forward 6 days later, I woke up from a coma, and I woke up to face, you know, just an unimaginable reality. It's like the doctors were saying I would probably never walk again. I had permanent brain damage that was so bad, I didn't remember from minute to minute. Like my parents would tell me that I had been in this horrible accident, then I would forget, or I would fall asleep and wake up again. Yeah, and now that I'm a dad, I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son. I have a way different perspective on who the real victim was in this situation. I'm like, to be a parent and watching your son go through this, like, I can't even imagine what my mom and dad went through.
Yeah, it's a whole other level of like understanding, I feel like.
Yeah. And until you have kids and you understand like how much you could love another human being, you know, just the thought of my kids going through anything close to that would be terrible. So ended up, once I got it in my head, it took a few days for me to actually remember what had happened to me when I'd wake up from my, you know, a nap or whatever, because I kept falling asleep because I was in so much pain and so tired. And when I finally figured it out and accepted it, or kind of figured out what had happened to me and was aware of it, I almost immediately went into acceptance mode. I had learned something in my sales training called the 5-minute rule, which said when it's, you know, when things go wrong, like if you don't hit your sales goal, or if a customer's rude to you, or they cancel their order, or any sort of, you know, there's so much disappointment and rejection when you're in sales. And we learned the 5-minute rule, which says set your timer on your phone for 5 minutes, and you get 5 minutes to bitch, moan, complain, right? Punch a wall, whatever you got to do, right? Feel sorry for yourself, be the victim, whatever you want for 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, you commit to focus 100% of your energy off of the thing that has already happened, right? You completely accept anything that is out of your control, anything that's already happened or gone down, and you focus all your energy on what you can control, what you want, where you want to move toward, what you want to achieve, and what is in your control to do that. That's it. And I had, because I had been practicing that for a year and a half, that was my mindset. And I just went, you know what? Can't change that I was in a car accident. Okay. Worst case scenario, it sounds like I'm never going to walk again, and I'll be, you know, in a wheelchair my whole life. Okay. And I just decided, you know what? If that's the case, I'm going to be the happiest person you've ever seen in a wheelchair, because either way, I'm in a wheelchair, right? Like, right. And I think it's such a metaphor for life. Like, you know, maybe you hate traffic. Well, you're in traffic. So either way, you're in traffic. You could either be happy in traffic or miserable in traffic. It's not the traffic that makes you happy or miserable. It's not the wheelchair that makes you happy or miserable, right? It's what's your choice?
Yeah, it's the mindset by which you approach that situation.
That's it. And it starts with acceptance. It's like, well, I can't change it, so why would I choose to be angry about it? Or I can't change it, why be frustrated about it? Or I can't change it, why be sad about it? You know, why be depressed?
Right.
If you can change it, well, you still don't need to be depressed. Just be positive, be grateful, be happy while you're changing it, you know?
Yeah. You know, the example that's coming up for me for like a private practitioner is, right, when they're sitting there in their, they've just opened a private practice and no one's calling, right? Mm. And so they're just sitting there like doubting themselves, wondering if they made the right decision, right? So if in that situation, how would you approach it?
I would buy a book on marketing. And I mean that in all seriousness. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I'm not a PhD or anything. I am a coach, right? So I do life coaching and success coaching and that sort of thing. So, you know, so there's some crossover. And, but when I first, you know, probably 4 years ago, I went to a seminar for coaches and speakers and authors. And the seminar leader said, how many of you do what you do because you really want to help people? And everybody raised their hand, right? And he said, how many of you consider yourself good at what you do? And everybody raised their hand. And he said, how many of you consistently read books on marketing? And very few hands went up. And he said, so you want to help people. You're committed to helping people. You believe that you're good at that. You have the ability to help people. And yet you're not mastering the only thing that will put people in front of you so that you can help them, which is marketing. He said, see, this is the biggest mistake that people that are in fields where they want to help others that they make is they focus on being better at helping others while they completely ignore focusing on being better at attracting others or being better at marketing to others and getting new clients. He said, look, you raised your hand. You're already good enough at what you do. Hmm. You need to become a master at marketing and a master at, you know, at selling. And that was a real mindset shift for me. I mean, I had a background in sales, so it was a little, you know, but it was selling what I was, you know, being selling coaching and selling yourself in those, in that regard, it's different.
Oh,
and
yeah. So, it's a different like level, I feel like, right? It's much more personal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's one thing to sell a product and you can rave about it, but it's hard to rave about yourself without feeling like you're being, you know, arrogant or self-promotional. So these insecurities get in the way. So I highly recommend, that's what I would tell someone is, yeah, I mean, be at peace with where you are, but I mean, I would be maintain a real healthy sense of urgency to get where you want to go. And the fastest way to do that is to figure out how to, you know, get, you know, fill your practice with clients.
Hmm. Just shifting a little bit, you know, you wrote this book called The Miracle Morning and it became a bestseller. What motivated you to write it?
Yeah, great question. And I'll tell you, not because I wanted to be a writer, not because I was, you know, I had this dream of being an author, not at all. It was really a sense of responsibility where I had gone through the most difficult period of my life, which surprisingly wasn't the car accident. Most people would think that, well, you died, you had broken bones, you had to learn to walk again. Wasn't that kind of like your rock bottom? And technically, it was not as difficult as 2008 when the U.S. economy crashed. To give you a quick synopsis of kind of my life at that time, I had hit Hall of Fame with my company that I worked for. So one of the youngest members ever in the Hall of Fame. Then I moved on and I started my own coaching business. I started doing sales coaching and success coaching and life coaching. I launched my career as a professional keynote speaker, which was really the dream for me. That was my dream for a long time. I wrote my first book called Taking Life Head On, which was, you know, all about my car accident being hit head on by the drunk driver, the lessons I learned from that experience that people could apply to their lives. And I had just bought my first house. It was a brand new house, my, you know, dream. That was another dream. And I had bought my dream car. So it's like at that time in my life, like life was good. Things were great. Like anyone in the real estate industry, right? 2005, 2006, 2007, things were good. You're mm-hmm. making more money than you can handle. And then when the U.S. economy crashed, I kind of crashed with it. I lost over half of my clients, which meant I lost over half of my income. I couldn't pay my bills, couldn't pay the mortgage. I lost my house. I canceled my gym membership and I stopped exercising completely. I didn't exercise for even a second for 6 months. It was this 6 month downward spiral. And I went from being debt free, where I was really big on paying off debt every month, not carrying a balance. You know, I had read, you know, Dave Ramsey's books and this and that. And I was big on that. And I could not control that area of my life to live. I charged $53,000 in 6 months on my credit card. And I carried that balance. So essentially, I was spending almost $10,000 a month on my credit card to survive. And as a result of that, I got deeply, deeply depressed. And I will share one other component that I don't often share. It just doesn't come up. But in this circumstance, I think it's important. I had been taking Adderall for 2 years. A friend that I really respect recommended it to me and said that I really needed it. And this was, you know, like 2000, I started in 2006 maybe. So for me, I didn't know that Adderall had any negative effects. I just heard it was, you know, helped you focus and concentrate. Well, once I started reading some material that said it was actually, you know, had negative effects on your brain and your nervous system, et cetera, I thought, well, I don't want to risk that. So I quit cold turkey. Hmm. And it just so happened that I quit taking Adderall while my business was failing. So I was dealing with, because people ask me about like the depression, and I think I was dealing with hardcore prescription drug withdrawals in the midst of, you know, the most difficult time in my life.
Oh my gosh.
So I think it was kind of the perfect storm, you know, the imperfect storm or perfect storm, if you will. And it really, I mean, I was to the point of being suicidal. Like I didn't want to live because I couldn't figure out how to get my life better. I kept trying to make it better and it got worse and worse and worse and worse for 6 months. Hmm. And I felt kind of hopeless.
Yeah. And then you came up with this idea of starting a morning routine.
So to keep another long story short here, here's what I did is I went on a run. My friend recommended, he said, Hal, what do you, you know, you need to start exercising every day. Go for a run every morning, listen to some self-help and figure out how to turn your life around. I said, John, I hate running. He said, well, what do you hate worse, running or your circumstances that you just described to me? I was like, okay, all right, screw you. I'll go for a run, right? And I went for a run the next day and I heard a quote from Jim Rohn that became the catalyst to turn my entire life around. And I'll share the quote. Your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development because success is something you attract by the person you become. And in that moment, I realized I'm not dedicating time every day to my personal development. Therefore, I'm not becoming the person that I need to be to create the success I want. And you said it. I had this epiphany. I thought, what if I figure out what are the best personal development practices known to man? And what if I wake up every day and I start my day by doing, at first I was just going to do the best, like the best one or two, but I had a list of six of them. And I went, wait a minute. There are some of the world's most successful people swear by any one of these. You can find, you know, a billionaire that says meditation. Ray Dalio, in fact, the, you know, billionaire, runs the largest hedge fund company in the world. He said, meditation is the number one key to his financial success, not his spiritual success, his financial success. You can find, you know, Will Smith talks about how his affirmations, his self-talk is the key to his success. Jim Carrey's famous for talking about how visualization is the key to his success. So I looked at all these and I went, wait a minute. What if rather than pick one of these or two of these to do, what if I did all of them every day? That would be like the ultimate personal development routine. And I woke up the next morning, I did all six, and that morning I felt for the first time in 6 months, I felt like I could take on the world. And I felt like if I start every day this way, this will be the one thing that changes everything for me. And to wrap up the story, I had no idea how fast it would happen. It was less than 2 months that I more than doubled my income, almost tripled it. I went from being in the worst shape of my life physically to committing to run 500 miles in 5 or 6 months and then run a 52-mile ultra marathon, 52 consecutive miles in 1 day. My depression went away. Get this. My depression literally went away the first day. It didn't take 2 months. It was gone the first day. I won't say it was gone, but it went from being like a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10 to like a 2. It was minimal.
I think it speaks to like just the mind shift difference that, you know, we were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And when it's here's the thing, when you work on growing and improving yourself, right? When you get better, everything gets better. And I started calling it my miracle morning, not because it was going to be a book, because my life turned around so fast in so many areas, it felt like a miracle. So it was my miracle morning, as in when I wrote it in my schedule every day, I wrote my miracle morning at 5, you know, whatever in the morning. But it was never going to be something I told anybody. And I just happened to have one of my coaching clients ask me if I had a morning ritual. And I was only a couple months into it. And I was like, oh boy, do I ever. Wait, let me tell you what I'm doing, right? And she goes, I'm not a morning person, but I'll try it. And a week later, she goes, Hal, I've never woken up every day so excited, so motivated. She said, I feel like a kid on Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And that's when the light bulb went off. And I'm like, wow, maybe this is meant for more than me. Like maybe this, and again, that's the reason I wrote the book, because I felt like I saw it work with not just her, but all of my clients had the same results. And so now, you know, it took me a few years, but I wrote the book, and I'm in awe. Every day I get emails from people saying how it's changing their lives, and different types of people. I get emails from people that are like at rock bottom like I was, and this turned things around for them. I get emails from people that are like doing okay, but they know they're not pursuing their dreams, and they do the Miracle Morning, and then now they write that book or start that business. And then I also get emails from people like Pat Flynn, who you mentioned earlier, that are extraordinarily successful. And Pat Flynn literally said the Miracle Morning has doubled his productivity, at least, if not more.
Yeah. I mean, I had heard about you some time ago, and I've started to employ a lot of the Miracle Morning as I've started this podcast. And folks often ask me, like, how am I able to work a full-time job and then also do this podcast? And that's the reason. Like, I feel like I have a very regimented morning routine, and doing that every day, I think it gives me a lot more energy to be focused when I need to and get the things done I need to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, here's the thing. Eben Pagan said it best. Tony Robbins was interviewing Eben Pagan. And if you're listening and you're like, you don't know who Eben Pagan is. Eben Pagan is, he's an entrepreneur. He is a thought leader. And he, as a business person, I think he does about $25 million a year. And he basically works from home by himself. I mean, he's very successful. And, Tony Robbins interviewed him. And at the end of the interview, he said, Eben, you've taught us so much. You've given us so much value. You know, he said, if you could narrow it down to one thing, what is the most important thing that our listeners could do to take their life, their business to the next level? And without hesitation, Eben said, create a morning success ritual. He said, that is the only thing. It sets your mindset. It sets the tone and the context for the rest of the day. Essentially, that if you have a unproductive, unfocused, lethargic morning where you hit the snooze button, which is actually, in essence, procrastinating, you're literally starting your day with procrastination and a lack of self-discipline, then that spills over into your day. You have a mediocre morning, it creates a mediocre day, which creates a mediocre life. But when you have an extraordinary, goal-oriented, growth-oriented, focused, disciplined morning, you become the type of person that can crush any and every area of your life. And that really is why it's so important.
Hal, you mentioned some components of the Miracle Morning. So outline what those are exactly for us.
Yeah. So thanks to my wife, they are organized now in a pretty little acronym that's memorable. I was actually writing the book and I was all frustrated one day. I'm like, sweetheart, I got to think of a way to make these six practices like in some sort of memorable system or program. You know, she goes, why don't you get a thesaurus? And, you know, cause my vocabulary is not that big. And she goes, why don't you, you know, like think of an acronym? And I was like, oh, you're brilliant. So these are now known popularly by tens of thousands of people around the world that do them every day as the Life Savers. And Savers is the acronym. So picture it all in capital letters, right? The first S is for silence, starting your day with prayer or meditation. Really, meditation is, again, the benefits proven are physically, mentally, and emotionally, how it improves your cognitive ability. It lowers your stress. It improves your discipline. There's so many benefits. And when you realize how many successful people swear by it. In fact, I was just at an event where Tim Ferriss was doing a Q&A, and I got to ask him the last question, which was so cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you know, if you're listening and you're wondering who Tim Ferriss is, author of 4-Hour Workweek, who's, you know, sold millions of copies. And I said, Tim, you always ask your podcast guests about the importance of morning rituals. You know, what do you think? Why are they so important? And talk about your morning ritual. And basically, his morning ritual is relatively simple. The essence, he said, the most important part is just meditation. So for him, that's the one that he focuses on. So the S is for silence. The A in Savers is for affirmations, written statements that articulate what you want, why you want it, and what you're committed to doing to achieve it. And essentially, affirmations are the way that you program your subconscious mind so that you start living in alignment with what you need to do and who you need to be and what you need to believe to achieve your goals. It's programming your subconscious mind the way you'd program a computer. And when you program a computer to do what you want it to do, it does what you want it to do. And when you program your subconscious to do what you want it to do, it gets you to do what you want to do. The V is for visualization, right? So visualizing your, not only your goals, but more importantly, I've found is visualizing yourself taking the action today that you need to take to achieve your goals. The E is for exercise. And I'm not talking about swapping out your, you know, gym time in the afternoon or the evening. You can still do that. But the benefits of morning exercise, that how they impact your entire day in terms of more energy, more discipline, ability to focus, you release endorphins in the morning, you let get the blood and oxygen flowing to your brain. It only takes 5 to 10 minutes of exercise in the morning to really sustain some significant benefits. The R is for reading. So the R in Savers is for reading. And that is, you know, reading self-development books of any area of your life. It's one of the fastest ways to gain the knowledge to improve in the area. It could be marriage. It could be health. It could be finances, whatever it is for you. It could be waking up early, right? Get the book called The Miracle Morning.
Right.
and then the final S is for scribing. And that's, you know, again, fancy word for me. I owe the thesaurus for that one. But scribing, you know, means writing. And so that's journaling. And again, the benefits of writing out what you're grateful for every day, just taking a few minutes to jot down what you're grateful for, how that improves your happiness is proven scientifically. The benefits, of, you know, articulating and writing, what are your goals and or your highest priorities for the day to ensure that you win the day, that improves your productivity. So scribing is how you kind of end the miracle morning with solidifying the, you know, your mindset and the actions you've got to take for the day.
So with the, that's really awesome. So with the Savers, do you spend equal time on them, or like how much total time do you, should you spend on them?
So when I first did my first Miracle Morning, it was an hour long. I'd say the average person does an hour, but in the book, you there's an entire chapter dedicated to how to do it in as little as 6 minutes a day and still get 80% of the benefit. Mm-hmm. So there's not too many things you can do one-tenth of the time and dedicate one-tenth of the time to and get 80% of the benefit. But the Miracle Morning, I teach you how to do that. Most people do an hour. Some do 30 minutes. Some do like 2 or 3 hours. And in terms of duration for each activity, my first Miracle Morning was 10 minutes each. Over time, it evolved to where it was 5 minutes of meditation, 5 minutes of affirmations, 5 minutes of visualization, and 5 minutes of journaling, and then 20 minutes of reading and 20 minutes of exercise. So it's really scalable. You can customize it, and there's a whole chapter in the book on how to customize it to fit your lifestyle so that you can achieve your goals, you know, which are obviously different than mine, and everybody's different. So how do you really make it your own? And you can definitely customize it to do that.
Yeah, that's really neat. So I guess one of the final questions that I had was for you, like on a personal level, since you've employed the Miracle Morning in your life, what are some of the ways that you've noticed your own productivity increasing or you even becoming more efficient?
Yeah, well, it allows you, I mean, it's kind of like I said a minute ago about how you, it sets the tone, your mindset, the context for the rest of the day. If you have a focused, productive, goal-oriented morning, that's the kind of day you have. We've all had those days, the opposite days where you like, you know, you wake up late and you're like rushed and hectic and you never get your balance back. You know, Tim Ferriss said that when I asked him the question about why it was so important. He said, if I don't do my morning routine, my day is just lost. I'm bouncing around. I'm reactive, et cetera. The morning ritual gets you centered and it gets you focused. Two very important things to achieve success in any area of your life. So for me, that's what it allows me to do. And I was asked a question recently similar to this that was, I had not been asked before. And it was, he said, Hal, when you created the Miracle Morning, you were at rock bottom. You were struggling financially. You were depressed. You were in horrible physical shape. He said, it got you out of that. You're not there anymore. You're, you know, by most accounts, what people would consider pretty successful. Why do you still do the Miracle Morning? And I had never been asked that before. And it was like, interesting question. I thought, why do I? And it, you know, it didn't take long. And I went, well, because the Miracle Morning is, it's not about, about, you know, going from rock bottom to success. It's about going from where you are to where you want to be as fast as humanly possible. That's the one thing that we all share in common is we all have a next level, right? I don't care if you're a billionaire, you've got a next level for you. And it might be a next level. Maybe financially you don't want to go to the next level. You're content. But your relationship or your health or whatever it is, there's always a next level for us in every given area. And I think the biggest thing that the Miracle Morning allows you to do is it's the most effective way to take yourself to the next level so that you can take your success to the next level, because it only happens in that order. And most of us are trying to continue being the same. We're not growing rapidly. We're not really accelerating our personal development, but we want our life to improve. And like Jim Rohn said it best, you know, your life will improve when you improve, right? Your life gets better when you get better. And that's the essence of the Miracle Morning. And so for me, it's I'm always trying to take myself to the next level so that I can take my life, my health, my happiness, my success, my energy, my finances, my impact in the world, take that to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, Hal, thank you so much for coming on. I am like, I don't know, now us going over this, now it makes me want to like reanalyze everything I do in the morning and incorporate some more of these aspects.
Awesome, man. There you, hey, that's the next level for you. You're already crushing it, Melvin. So now it's about going to the next level, right?
Absolutely. Hal, what are the best ways that folks can get in touch with you?
My website, halelrod.com, H-A-L-E-L-R-O-D, halelrod.com. You can get info on my speaking, my coaching. You can contact me there. If you want to buy the book, of course, I would invite you to check out The Miracle Morning. It's on Amazon. That's the best place to buy the book. And we just had our 735th five-star review, I think. So it's like,
wow.
One of my team members did a little research. And according to him, I haven't verified or fact-checked this, but he said, Hal, based on the number of reviews you have, that puts you in the top 0.1% of all books on Amazon ever. So anyway, so I don't know if that's true, but that was pretty cool. I just pretend that it's true if it is or not. But the so Amazon. And now, by the way, if anybody's listening and they're like, look, I'm putting myself through school right now. Money's really tight. There is actually an opportunity for you to get started with The Miracle Morning totally free without having to buy the book, and that is at miraclemorning.com. If you go to miraclemorning.com, you'll get a 15-minute audio or video training, a 60-minute audio training, and the first couple chapters of the book for free, all sent to you. And that's a great way to get started, and then, you know, use The Miracle Morning to increase your income, and you can buy the book or whatever if you want down the road. Last but not least, I invite everybody to join The Miracle Morning community on Facebook. It has become the most inspiring, engaged community that I've ever seen. Just really, if you want to connect with like-minded people that are all passionate, not about just doing The Miracle Morning, but about really supporting each other in being our best and achieving our goals. We're at over 14,000 people now from all around the world.
It's amazing. The power of community.
Yeah, it took a long time for it to grow, but it just kind of took on a life of its own. And now we have like 100 people a day, I think, on average, asked to join from around the world. It's pretty neat to watch.
Yeah, I'll be joining right after our conversation.
Cool, Melvin. I'll look for you there. Normally my assistant accepts everyone. I'll go in there and personally accept you to the group.
Awesome. Thank you, Hal, for doing this.
Yeah, Melvin, thanks for having me. I really am grateful. And everyone that tuned in and listened, thank you for your time. I hope you got some value, and I hope to see you in the Miracle Morning community on Facebook.
Sounds good. Take care, Hal. Hey, what's up, everyone? Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Hal Elrod. Now, you're probably wondering why I would have someone like Hal come on the podcast. Well, the reason is because I think a lot of my productivity and what I do both with the podcast and professionally, I attribute a lot of it to my morning routine. I tend to be an early riser, and actually I had never run into Hal's Miracle Morning routine, and I just happened to notice like I was doing a lot of these things. Like typically when I wake up, I do some sort of quiet time and then I do some sort of exercise. But some of these other parts, the reading, the journaling, the visualization, those are things that I don't do. And I don't know, after Hal's conversation, I'm like really motivated to try those out and try to incorporate that into my daily routine. I feel like it's what Hal alluded to. Having a great morning routine really sets you up for the rest of the day when you're a small business owner. And I'm hoping that you take some of the things that Hal said and come up with your own morning routine using his acronym of SAVERS. And so that again is silence, a time for affirmations, a time for visualization, time for exercise, a time for reading, and a time for journaling. And I hope that's something that you will start to do in your own morning routine. For show notes to today's episode, you can find those at sellingthecouch.com/session22. Have a great week, everyone, and let's start our morning routines.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.